Hello and welcome to Open Your Mind Internet Radio. You have myself, Alan James.
And you have myself, Stephen George. Good evening.
Good evening. It's Sunday the 25th of January 2015. We have a great guest on the show tonight, a chap called Simon Parks. Simon hasn't been on the show for about 2 years. January 2013 was the last time Simon was on. And for some of you who were around at that time, we had some fantastic information from Simon. And we've asked Simon to come back on again to give us an update on what's going on, because globally there's an awful lot of stuff going on, even locally, not just globally as well. So we want to get an update really from Simon, what's going on. He might have his finger on the pulse regarding that information. So we'll bring Simon in a few minutes, but first of all, we'll find out what the communication channels are.
Yeah, communication channels please, Mary.
The communication channels are email info@oymireland.com, by phone 046 927 1212, and you can also contact us direct through the OYM chat room.
Yes, 046 927 1212 is the magic number for the studio this evening. You can also ring any time during the week. Any time you like, actually. You may get the answer machine, but you can leave a message if you wish to do so. We also have the chat room as well on the website. That's oamradio.com. You will see the chat button on the left-hand side. You can click in there and you can join in the chat. You can also ask questions there for our guest, Simon Parks, this evening. There's several people logged in already, so a big hi to everyone in there. We're also on the People's Internet Radio chat room as well. That's peoplesinternetradio.com. We're there as well, so any questions you have, you can just stick them up there. We will copy and paste and ask them of Simon. We also have Facebook as well. That's the anti-social media, which I'm going to be talking about in a moment. And we have YouTube as well, and also TuneIn Radio. We're on the TuneIn Radio app as well for your listening pleasure. Alan.
Fantastic, Steve. Cheers for that. Right, just a few things as usual that we're going to go through before we bring our guest in. Just, we got some word during the week as well that Kells Community Radio, which we were asked to do our show on, is in hand at the moment. They're still working.
Yay!
They're still doing work, and hopefully down the road it'll be up and running and we'll get a call and our show will actually move location.
Yeah. But, a real proper... Well, not that this is, well, actually, I was going to say a real proper studio. I just hope if and when we do go that theirs is as well as equipped as ours.
Yeah, well, I hope so. So we'll keep you, we'll let you know about that. Again, just quickly, thank you again for all the donations. It really is helpful. Every little euro counts, because we have bills to pay, you know, and they need to be paid. So it keeps us on air and helps us get the few bits and pieces that we need to keep the old wheels in motion. So a big thank you for donations. Remember, t-shirts and stickers and all that kind of stuff's available on the online shop. You can pop over there and buy, have a browse, and if you fancy anything, just go ahead and purchase what you need there. Brilliant. Steve, over to you.
Yeah, I need to ask a question first. Maybe you might understand this. I don't. What's Mecca Bingo?
Mecca Bingo, that's the online bingo, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know in the UK they have Mecca Bingo. You go to
right.
Mecca Bingo halls.
Okay. Because uniquely on People's Internet Radio, OAM sometimes feels like a Mecca Bingo National Link Night. I don't know what that is, but I'll take it as a compliment.
Right. Well, we do have a stream in the UK, in Ireland, and the States. So we're playing a link game at the moment.
Yeah. So
eyes down.
Here we go. Watch your balls. Okay. Yeah. The first thing we're going to mention this evening is U.S. Air Force. Seemingly, the U.S. Air Force released thousands of pages of declassified UFO files. Huge news for ufologists. I knew I'd get that one wrong. Nearly 130,000 pages of fully searchable archives, dubbed the Project Blue Book collection, are now available on truth-seeking website, The Black Vault. And the link for that one is www.theblackvault.com. I will stick that up in the website now momentarily. So yeah, that's cool. Loads of declassified documents. Finally, is it wonders as part of the disclosure project?
Well, there seems to be more and more coming out, so we'll just kind of keep an eye on things. More and more people seeing crafts in the sky, whatever way you want to call them. It could be a T or a 3B, or maybe there's something else, but there seems to be a lot of people seeing a lot more crafts flying around for some reason. So, but another thing happened during the week as well, and we talk about what's going on with the kind of, people talk about the financial reset or the financial collapse, and we'll be probably talking to Simon about that as well. Now, the Daily Mail reported that Wall Street have slashed 50,000 jobs and reduce bonuses and expenses as profits continue to dry up. So that's kind of incredible. Now, the banks kind of affected are the Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan, and even Goldman Sachs. So cuts announced last week come as profits opportunities have dried up. So obviously there's something going on. 50,000 jobs going in the banking sector. So there is major things going on. Well, I'm going to be talking about the what happened, come out with the IMF, the 50 billion. The quantitative easing, which the IMF are going to be doing, I believe, from March. So I'll be talking about that in a few minutes. But it goes to show you there's something big going on, and maybe we are in. I'm pretty sure we're going to be in for a financial collapse. The talk is around probably June, July, apparently around that time. Could be sooner, could be later. I'm not too sure. But we'll have to kind of hold on. But we'll talk about that in a minute with the IMF. Steve?
Yes. Next on the unscripted script, Dermot Murphy. We had some news from Dermot Murphy. Seemingly, it was a TV license incident that was recently thrown out of court. Anyone who's kind of following what's going on over here would know that we do have this TV license system. It's, I believe, the same in the UK as well, where you have to pay this, and it's €160 per year over here, and that goes straight into RTE. No one else gets a sniff. It just goes straight into RTE's coffers. So a lot of people kind of boycott RTE because they're unfair reporting on a lot of events of recent times. They're kind of they're a bit one-sided, kind of mouthpiece for the government. So a lot of people, myself included, have decided I don't want any part of it. I'm not going to be funding your wicked ways or whatever. So people kind of have kind of snubbed RTE and snubbed the TV license. Now some people get the knock on the door and they answer the door, and they whatever they say ends them up, you know, in a court. There are ways, you know, if you don't open the door, you don't deal with these people, there's ways and means of kind of circumventing that. But if you're unlucky enough to end up in court, you could get a fine or whatever. But seemingly recently, a lady ended up in court. No, it was a gentleman. It was a gentleman.
Lady.
It was a lady. Yes, ended up in court, and this lady said that she was going down, she was hanging ten in the big room, you know, and she said that she wasn't receiving live broadcasts. She only had an old analog TV. The judge seemingly hadn't really got much of a clue about anything really, and he was coming down hard on her, allegedly. But it was explained to the judge that she had an analog TV, and analog transmissions were actually switched off. I think, was it 2 years ago? I think,
yeah,
2 years ago. And it was digital broadcast now. And she said she was not in receipt of Serview, which is the Irish kind of free to air. Well, it's not satellite, it's kind of terrestrial stuff. Yeah, she wasn't in receipt of that. She didn't have any apparatus capable of receiving it, nor did she have a Sky dish. And all she was using the television for was a...
Just to play DVDs.
To play DVDs. I was going to say videos.
Yeah. Videos.
Maybe she has videos.
Show your age.
I don't know. Yeah. Beat the max,
yeah.
I've got one of them. Anyway, I heard, and it was actually thrown out of court because, you know, I think it does say somewhere in some lettering or some document somewhere that the TV has to be used for reception of live TV broadcasts. So there you go. So yeah, that's kind of one for our side of the fence. Anyway, we need more of those. But yeah, there you go.
Successful cases.
Yeah,
I'd just like to say as well that we're going to be bringing on Finbar Markey on at the end of the show, just for about 10 minutes, just to get an update, because there's going to be a KTEC peaceful assembly tomorrow at City West Hotel, and he's going to let everybody know about that. So that'll be at the end of the show, just to let you know. Steve, how's your week?
I'm glad you asked. My week's been fine, yeah. Not too much going on, but I have managed to squeeze in a few things that I want to mention. Namely, number one, the American Sniper movie. I know you did recommend that I should watch the Enders game. I know we're going to talk a little bit about that later. But instead, I opted for American Sniper because I heard so much going on about this movie that I decided, you know what, I'll actually have a look and see what the story is. So, 2 hours, 12 minutes long, and I have to say, it's a bit of a slow starter. And then when it gets going, it just seems to be, from start to finish, it's pro-American soldiers. It really, really was. Even my wife, now my wife can kind of take things or leave things, and, you know, she'll watch it for the entertainment value. And when we got to the end of it, she said it was, and I won't repeat the words she said because it's below the watershed, but that's, yeah, she wasn't too happy with the film. But it really, really came across to me as pro-American soldiers, and that by the time they finish their training, they actually believe that they are the invincible force, the elite on the planet, and they have a God-given right to go into any country they want and kill as many of their people as they possibly can for the, you know, under the guise of, well, we're protecting America, because if we don't go over there and kill them, they're going to come over here and kill us, in a bad American accent, says he. But that's kind of the message I got over, and it was really kind of glorifying the whole Americans going in, and it was just murder is basically what it was. By the end of the film, you kind of got the impression that this chap who was the main character, Chris Coyle. Now, I don't know Chris Coyle from a hole in the road, but he's kind of made out to be a bit of a hero towards the end of the film. Like, he's a real hero. He comes back, and then he does four tours, and then he tries to spend some time with his family, but he can't really adjust. Eventually does, and then goes out and he starts helping other veterans who weren't as lucky as him, but he gets killed in the end. It's supposed to be a true story. Again, they're kind of hailing him as a hero, but from what I've heard and what I've seen on some websites across the internet, the interweb, that seemingly he wasn't a hero, he was a psychopath. And, you know, I'm not saying whether he was, whether he wasn't, I don't know, the chap is dead now. But the film, if you haven't seen it, it really does kind of glorify the whole act of war and Americans.
He apparently got killed by another vet in 2013.
That's right, yeah. Some guy who he was helping, he was helping this other guy who, obviously, PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
He killed him. Anyhow, moving on from that, the Irish government, this is actually something we heard from one of our regulars, Patrick, a couple of weeks back. Patrick gave us a phone call, and he was talking about identity cards being introduced into the Irish school system. Now, this is kind of along the similar vein, if you like, but it's the Irish government. They want to gather information on the school children. It's going to go up on a central database, and it's going to be called the POD. And I have it here. I did post a link earlier. I will post one momentarily. But it just says the department has developed an electronic individualised database of primary school pupils called the Primary Online Database, POD for short. POD will collect individual information on each pupil, including their PPS number. This has been thoroughly piloted with a selection of schools and has been extensively discussed with the education partners and management bodies. It seemingly it's rolled out already, and they say as part of the transition process, schools will be required to return the current national school annual census for the 2014-2015 and 2015-2016 academic years. So it's going to have to be done through this thing. The database is already live, and a lot of schools are involved in it. It's going to be rolled out, I believe, it should be completed in its rollout, according to this article, by March, is it March 2015, I do believe, which you can read yourself. I will post that a link in a moment. And what's next? Yeah, actually the last thing, really. I am watching a video there earlier on today. I didn't say he was a cage fighter, but a fighter by the name of Dave Herman was tased by the cops. His wife actually started recording the whole thing. He was tased because his car broke down. He was driving along with his hazard lights on, and he eventually pulled into a petrol station, a service station. And the American police came up behind him, wanted him to identify himself. He got out of the car, and he didn't know who they were. So he was asking them, could they identify themselves? You can see the video. They just roar and shout at the chap. They tase him. They get him down on the ground. His wife starts, she's recording the whole thing. The cops are supposed to have these body cameras on that record everything. She actually has them on video footage saying that my camera wasn't on. Was your camera on? No. But she captured the whole thing. And it's just, again, it was just one of those videos that you kind of see. It wasn't overly violent, but it was just a little taste of the police state that seems to be rolling in across the US and probably to a guard station here too. Actually, speaking of guards, now, we also heard during the week, this is kind of unconfirmed at the moment, but the guards are being asked to work longer hours for less pay. Again, I don't know if it's genuine. We did hear it during the week, and they're obviously going to be coming out and strike possibly looking for support from us, the citizens of Ireland. Well, I can safely say, for those who were out on the water protest strikes and for those who were assaulted by Gardaí, I don't think they're going to be getting their support.
No.
So, there we go.
Definitely
There's
not.
My week in a nutshell. How was your week?
Oh, I just go through these very quickly. You probably heard during the week also that the IMF are now going to start issuing 50 billion euros per month starting from March, apparently, to help to stimulate the economy, according to Russia Today. Also known as quantitative easing, they will buy government securities bonds in order to lower the interest rates and increase the money supply. So the banks receive more money to enable them to lend to people who don't have the money to get in the first place. Bit silly, really. They should actually give the money to us. Now, my understanding is that it's obviously backed by nothing, as we know, it's fiat currency. So if you flood the market with more currency, you're going to create hyperinflation and devalue the currency. And that's basically what happened in Germany around 1923, where the inflation rate went to 43%, and Botswana, where the inflation rate went to 233%. So a wheelbarrow full of money to buy an apple. And that's why you're getting less for your money these days, and it's going to be even worse. And I know Simon, we talked to Simon before the show, and he reckons that, you know, it's going to be, obviously this year as well, it's going to happen. So we'll talk to Simon about that. And just looking, there's more and more scandals and corruption are being exposed. So I'm quite positive, you know, I am quite positive about things globally in general. More and more stuff is coming out. And again, it's something we're noticing. There's more and more information coming out, more and more corruption, more and more. And we have to keep exposing it. You know, any secret society throughout history that has been exposed never lasted. So it's important that we expose what's going on. And just very quickly, for those of you who have kids and you ever went to a parents teachers meeting, I was one during the week, and it was a bit like speed dating. It really was. The teachers were on the outside, and all the parents were in the middle, and you had to kind of queue up and
speak to
the teacher. Yeah. Okay. A big before we bring Simon in, just a shout out to Apache Pizza in Kells. Thanks to Apache Pizza, these guys are very good because they did this in Drogheda, I think. They basically do was the Kells against water charges, the folks were campaigning and demonstrating against the water charges, and Pineapple Pizza sent out pizzas and drinks to the group on Friday night. Much appreciated. They've done that before. It was a cold night on Friday, and they send the pizzas out and the drinks out. So well done, Apache Pizza. Thanks for supporting the protesters. Well done.
Apache Pizza, you know where we are. Two pizzas, please.
Well, we're going to be in Kells, hopefully, so we'd know we send out if need be. Okay, let's bring our guest on, because I'm sure we have a lot to talk about. Our guest is a chap called Simon Parks. Now, Simon, I hope this is okay for me to read out for Simon. He'll fill in the blanks, I'm sure. Was born into a privileged Illuminati bloodline, contacted at an early age by multiple entities, and schooled in the power of magic. But Simon, he holds public office in Whitby, North Yorkshire. He turned down his induction into the power pyramid, and instead uses his privileged insight to talk about reality, multi-dimensional beings, and the plans of the Illuminati. I hope that's right. Good evening, Simon. How are you?
Good evening to both of you. I'm very well, thank you.
Brilliant. Was that a good introduction?
It's so good, I don't need to add to it.
Brilliant. Okay, Simon, thanks a lot for coming on. As I say, you were on the show January 2 years ago, and you gave us an awful lot of information on what was going on and what was happening. And you said 2015 was going to be a pivotal year, especially for the CERN Hadron Collider, which seems to be in the news all of a sudden, and they're talking about these things called strangelets or stranglets. And I'm not too sure of the technology, but some people are very concerned about it. You know, is it a case that they're playing around with something that they don't know what they're dealing with? I don't know. But do you want to expand? Is there anything that you want to add to the little bio, or do you want to just take it from there?
I'll just talk about television licenses to start with. It's very interesting that on the mainland, the BBC, which is supposed to be funded purely by the license payer, receives money from Europe. and private companies. So actually, if you go online, there are a number of letters that you can copy, which basically says that you do not wish to pay your license fee simply because the BBC is no longer supported primarily by taxpayers' money. It receives money from Europe. So I understand a number of people have won court cases. So it's probably different for you over on your island, but on this island, I think that there's been some successes. Okay, from the buyer point of view, no, I think that's fine. I have finally given in and I have a website. For years and years I decided I wouldn't do one because I just felt that it would be taken down all the time. But I have succumbed, so if anybody wants to go www.simonparks.org, they'll find my website. It's actually being constructed at the moment. There's a few pages up, but there's an opportunity there for people to click in and write me a message and read what we have to say. So, okay, I've come into the modern era with my own website. All right, let's talk about the Hadron Collider. You're right, 2 years ago, I was trying to warn people of the collider and what was happening. And I did say that 2015 was a pivotal year for the Hadron. And yep, absolutely, you've said it. It's all in the news again. We're looking at the back end of 2015. The object being, well, let's go back a little bit. When the Hadron Collider failed to operate on the 21st of December 2012, which was the ascension period, there was a terrible disaster in Japan, and the Japanese agreed to build a linear collider that's actually being built at the moment. And I guess as long as the Japanese carry on building the linear collider, the rest of Japan won't sink into the water. So that was the blackmail, and they succumbed to it. They're building a linear collider. However, the time frame for the build period is beyond the date that they need. They need this to be the end of 2015. So they've gone back to the original collider, and they've extended it, or they are in the process of extending it and ramping up the power. But, you know, at the end of the day, the same thing will happen. In 2012, it stopped working, and it will stop working at the end of this year. So, yeah, Hadron Collider very much in the news.
So when you say it stopped working, is it being sabotaged, or is there, you know, somebody trying to shut it down so it doesn't work?
Yeah, they're both the same thing, aren't they? I don't want, you know, you to imagine somebody, you know, dressing up in a black cat suit and then sneaking in and planting a bomb, because you couldn't get into that place. But certainly it didn't work when it was supposed to. What alerted me to it back just before December 2012 was their insistence that all the scientists could not go home for Christmas. And many of those scientists, both men and women, had, you know, loved ones at home, children who wanted their parents to be there for Christmas. And the scientists, most of them were held back and told you can't go home for Christmas. Now, that's very unusual. So, you know, why would somebody want to operate a device over that period of time? And when you look at the charts, you can actually see that it was designed to peak on the 21st of December 2012, which was the Ascension Day. So it became quite important that that device didn't operate on that time scale, because it was negative for humanity. And lo and behold, it didn't work. It broke down. By the time, it was half a day to detect the fault, half a day to remove the failed relay, and another half a day to order it, and another half a day to put it in place. So by the time they had it up and running, it was too late, past the 22nd actually, 22nd of December, so they just sent everybody home. So those kids got their parents home for Christmas, which I think is rather nice. So, yeah, Hadron Collider, not very good for humanity, not just a weapon, not just something to find out about how the universe was created, but much more about keeping a portal open. There's a large portal that's collapsing. It's in the process of actually falling in on itself. And what they want to do is to thrust a load of energy up it to, you know, push it open, like you would in a traditional coal mine. You would go in with your wooden boards, and you'd shore up the insides.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing that energetically with energy. That's their object, to keep this panel, this channel open, so that negative entities, negative forces can come back into the planet or onto the planet, reinforcements, basically. and that ain't going to happen.
Okay, so you're pretty sure that that's not going to happen, yeah?
I'm absolutely certain it won't happen.
Okay, and do you want to go into more detail as to who is behind this portal and what this portal is?
I don't often talk about the Archons. The reason I don't talk about them much is because they're the very top of the tree. They're the puppet masters. You know, they're even higher than the bad guys, the reptilians. The Archons actually manipulate a lot of the reptilians and manipulate a lot of stuff. But this portal was really designed to enable the Archons to bring in energy and to replenish their situation on planet Earth. And it was ultimately no benefit to humanity at all. And this is a terrible thing that taxpayers' money was being used, or black project money was being used to build a damn thing. You know, I said to people at the time, you know, we live on a planet which is 3D, which is all about profit and money. So who would sink huge amounts of money into a device when there's nothing coming out of it? It just doesn't happen. People who invest money only invest money because they want something out of it, which is usually more money.
Yeah.
So here was a device where countries were being lent on by America to provide money from their black budgets, never see the money again, purely and simply for a cabal to use the device for its own ends. So it's an incredibly negative machine. Just to give you something else along those lines, because I'm not going to talk about the sabotage side, but if your listeners want to Google Bluffdale in America, last September, they finally finished a great building in Bluffdale to house some supercomputers, which actually signed off by President Obama, actually, as an executive order, which gave the National Security Agency of America the ability to store, not just observe, but store every email, text, Skype message, telephone call, just about everything, and store it totally. And this is a big facility in America called Bluffdale. Now, in September of last year, they have what they call a ribbon-cutting ceremony. And I don't know if it was the governor of the state, but all the rich and the powerful were invited, and the ribbon was put there. And they were supposed to cut the ribbon with a pair of scissors, as you do, and announce this facility open. Well, you know, I was aware of that, and I thought that's not a very good thing, because I don't believe that a government should be storing everybody's information, especially not even with permission. And 2 hours before the ribbon cutting ceremony, the whole facility was completely blanked out. They had what the Americans call a power outage. And you know, your listeners can go and Google this, it's actually out there, because they had to cancel all the dignitaries that were turning up. And this is the best way to send messages to the cabal, that no matter how secure they are, how powerful they are, their most top secret facilities can be disabled by a lack of electricity, basically. And their own generators didn't kick in and provide the power. So just as the CERN Collider was taken out, so Bluffdale was taken out.
So are you talking about the White Hats being involved?
No, the White Hats wouldn't know anything about that.
Okay. So who do you think is doing it?
I'm not going to answer that.
Okay, fine, okay. But it's a positive anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because how can it be positive for somebody to have a Skype conversation and that Skype conversation to be recorded without their permission and stored? And, you know, the American government's attitude is, well, if you haven't done anything wrong, you shouldn't object. But my reply to that is that, let's say somebody goes on a demonstration one day and they don't like that, and they can then go back through all your emails, all your Skype conversations, and all they're looking for is just one thing out of place from which to, you know, take action against you. So it's not about, oh, well, I'm innocent, therefore I don't mind people recording information. The question is, you know, why the heck are you recording information from people who are innocent anyway?
Exactly.
So it's just totally awful. What they did, I can't name the company, because if I name the company, I know that we'll all have trouble. But a very, very well-known organization in the internet side chartered two huge ships, just absolutely chock full of circuitry and computers, like a cloud, we'd call it, wouldn't we, to store all the information until Bluffdale was up and running. And they took these ships out into international waters. So no country could claim them, and no country could take action. And they just sat these ships out there, and they just collected all the emails, all the phone calls on these huge ships. I think it was probably six in the end, but there was two to four that were officially announced. And then when Bluffdale was organised, those ships then were able to transfer that information across. So that's how underhand they are. They're actually putting ships out on international waters so that nobody can take any action against them, just to store everyone's information. So all I'm saying is basically that I think people need to be aware that in some ways things have become more open, and we're more aware of what's going on, but in other ways they've become incredibly devious and incredibly clever at hiding things behind smoke screens. But nevertheless, the Bluffdale facility suffered an incredible power outage, which cancelled the ribbon-cutting ceremony. Now that's a big message to the highest of the high, that no matter how safe, how secure they are, their facilities can be taken out. So I think that's the message, really, that they got, and I think they heard it loud and clear.
Okay, well, kind of sticking to with that theme at the moment, does talk about this thing called the event. Have you heard about this?
There's stuff that the New Age have put out regarding the event, and then there's sort of the more scientific part of the event. Now, which angle of it are you sort of coming from?
Well, the logical research side, not the New Age side. I'm not interested in the New Age side. I'm more interested in facts and figures, you know?
Well, I hear what you're saying, but it's important because the New Age is, much of the New Age has been infiltrated, obviously.
Yeah.
And it is useful to keep an eye on it, because you can see where they wish to lead the public, they wish to lead opinion.
Okay.
There are many, many genuine people in the New Age as well, so I just want to say that. The talk of an event has had many connotations. One of it's been from a false flag perspective, an event of an alien-type invasion. But the other event that they're also talking about is an event where the Earth moves allegedly from this dimension into the fifth dimension, which is a very New Age business. So I wasn't sure which of those two you were referring to.
Well, I've heard both of them. Obviously, we've heard about Project Bluebeam with the fake alien invasion, and we're obviously in contact with Dr. Carol Rosen as well, and you know, she has said what Werner von Braun said about that. That would be the last card. And to me, logically, from a psychological point of view, it makes sense to me, because, you know, if they want to unite people globally, it's like I've said it before on the show, you know, with families, there's infighting with families. But when something from outside the family threatens the family get together and as a unit, and then, you know, get rid of that force that's trying to attack the family. So the same thing applies. It's Independence Day, basically, where we stop saying that we're Irish and English and French and German, and we're humans, and it's the aliens that are going to come down, and we need your taxes to build these machines to fight these nasty aliens. Well, I've said it before on the show, so, you know, psychologically it's a great method, because people are getting very weary of wars, and they don't want fighting, they don't want wars anymore. And obviously the cabal are trying to say, well, how else can we get money off these people if they don't want war? Okay, we'll have this find a holographic technology and fake alien invasion. That's that side. And then the New Age side is, yes, we're in a 3D world, and we're going to be moving over to 4D and 5D. And we've heard that side as well. I'm really interested in, you know, what you really think is going to happen, you know, yourself, what you've heard.
Right, well, Ronald Reagan, of course, when he addressed the United Nations many years ago, he used exactly that argument, something along the lines of, I often wonder what would happen if we were threatened by forces from outside, whether we would all put aside our differences and join together. This very much is a Kabbalistic and Illuminati plan. So Ronald Reagan's president was banging on with that. You're absolutely right about Bluebeam, because when before the Bay of Pigs kicked off with Cuba, and Kennedy was just in office, so we're talking 60, 61, I think, so JFK was just the president. There was a plan, and in fact the actual ship with the holographic technology actually was steaming on its way to Cuba. They were going to project Mary Magdalene literally as a holographic image, because Cuba then, as it is now, was a very Catholic country. And this holographic image of Mary was going to tell people to rise up and throw out Fidel Castro. And it was called back at the last minute when they got cold feet. And so they've had this technology for a heck of a long time. Now, in terms of the false flag, it's been, will it be, won't it be, will it be, won't it be, at the highest level. Because once they play that, and Carol Rosalind, who I've got a massive amount of time for, is absolutely right. Because Wernher von Braun was privy to some of the most top secret information. But once the cabal play that card, there's no going back. And that's why several times they've gone to the brink, and they've teetered back from the brink for fear that if it didn't work, that's it, they've got nowhere to go. It won't just be, if they go down that road, it won't just be a holographic display. They'll be using, you mentioned earlier, I don't know whether we were on air or not, you talked about the TRB-3, which is the triangle craft.
That's right, yeah.
Right. That actually, there exists what we'd call first generation back-engineered triangle craft now, which the cabal or the elite have. So those would be wheeled out. They wouldn't be holographed. They're absolutely very real, but they're old modern sense. So they're the first generation back-engineered from grey technology. Also a number of what we'd call your traditional Hollywood greys, which don't have a soul in. So these are the robotic greys, which are kept in tanks, and some of them would be brought out, and there would be, just as you have all this staged terrorism, you'd have a staged firefight somewhere in America with the chosen camera crews in the right places. That is their plan, but they haven't gone ahead with it, because if it backfired, they're in trouble. And it isn't just about money. It's about power. So if you can stage a false flag alien invasion, the whole object is to say, and I'll just quote you the way that their plan, that the plan is planned, if I can call it that. Right, we've defeated an alien invasion. However, we have discovered that there are a number of aliens that look just like us. We can't tell the difference. So what we're going to do is set up mass inoculation centres everywhere, whether it's a shopping mall, whether it's your local post office, and we're going to inject you with these implants, so that when you go shopping, we're going to have soldiers with scanners, and they'll scan your body, and they'll detect the implant, and they'll know you're a real human. So that's okay, you can carry on and do your shopping. But if you're an alien, you won't have the implant, and therefore we can arrest you. That's the whole object of it. The whole object is to get the majority of humanity implanted.
Yeah.
In a very obvious way. So it isn't about money, it's about control. Mm. If we go back 25 years, the whole object was to remove 75% of the population, partly because they wanted the Earth to themselves. Because many Illuminati people actually really, really love nature. They just don't like all the other humans around them sharing it with them. And the other half is that once you've amassed a certain amount of wealth, you don't really need any more taxes. But when technology really took off and they found that they had the ability to control people through implants or through electromagnetic weapons, they suddenly thought, well, maybe we don't need to kill off so many people because we can control them. So that's what I think has confused researchers, because they think, well, why hasn't it happened? Or we get all these warnings and nothing happens. It's simply because these cabals sit around the table and they almost give the green light to a particular project. And at the last minute, they get cold feet or something happens and they call it back. So it isn't about people calling wolf. It's about people actually being very well aware that something's happening. And because they discuss it, and because they put it out on the alternative media, the cabal says, oh my God, it's got out, it's leaked out, we're going to have to backtrack on it. So on many, many occasions when something was destined to happen, and researchers found out about it and made a fuss, it actually saved the day. A false flag is less likely now from an alien invasion, but it's still possible.
Yeah, well, as I said earlier, and that's kind of confirms what I said, as I say, any secret society throughout history or information like that that's exposed the secret society has lasted. And when the researchers or that information gets out into the alternative media, and people get to know about it through that, as you say, they pull back because their plans are blown, and we have to kind of keep doing that.
Yes.
So where does Planet X tie into this?
Right. Well, I suppose we could call it Nibiru.
Yeah.
Call it Planet X. The problem with this is that there's an incredible amount of deliberate misinformation that's been put out on YouTube, on the net. There's a lot of well-meaning stuff from the New Age as well. And there's a lot of people who have read about three pages of something, and then they create their own website and they put more nonsense up. There undoubtedly is a planet that has a travelling period, and it's 26,500 years, I can't remember exactly now, but there certainly is a planet that swings around. But I know a lot of people aren't going to like this. There is no Planet X are likely to turn up in the next 20 years.
Right, okay. So, Nibiru?
Nibiru? Well, yeah, to me that's the same thing. You know, how many times do we look on the internet and they're saying, I saw Nibiru, or the planet's just out there, or there's a great fleet of ships, you know, just out there, and nothing happens. There's no fleet of ships that's going to invade us like that. There's no Planet X just waiting to bump into us. It's a lot of people who are getting false information and are genuinely passing it on. That's the point. It's the design is to put fear into people, because if you think there's a planet on a collision course with you that's going to hit you and you're going to be wiped out, then you are very susceptible to suggestions. And one of the suggestions would be, tell you what, let's ship off all humanity to another planet where you'll be perfectly safe. And that's basically the human race being sold into slavery. And I have always consistently said, if the spaceships land, do not get in them. Do not get in them. So the object of the Planet X, which is genuine and does exist, has been turned into a weapon of fear to make people think that if it was to strike the Earth, it would kill everybody. Therefore, we'd better be susceptible to other plans.
Now, when Chris Thomas was on our show, and we're hoping to get Chris back on sometime. He's not available at the moment. But funny enough, Chris said the exact same thing as you. He said, if a ship lands and says, come on board, we're going to take you off the planet because the planet's going to get hit. He said, I wouldn't be going on any ship, because you might end up being food for somebody.
Yes, I agree with him entirely.
You know, and people need to kind of... Now, we are going very, very deep into the rabbit hole, and for some people, this is just incomprehensible because they haven't gone down that far in the rabbit hole. But, you know, we've heard about Dulce and the experiments, and Phil Schneider, and the amount of levels in the Dulce base over in New Mexico, and the experiments they've been doing over there, and the whole ET thing in the dumps, and the amount of the dumb bases they have in America alone, but they're all over the globally. Now, we've seen the footage from Jesse Ventura in the Ozarks, where he's actually driving in on the mountain, and he's driving around inside. And why do you think they're building all these dumbs? Why do you think they're stocking them up? Why is there a seed bank in Norway? I mean, do you think there's something going on that they're not telling us?
Well, there's always loads of things going on that the elite don't want the ordinary people to know. Ever since the Americans defeated Nazi Germany, the Americans discovered the Nazis had been building underground bases. And in actual fact, in July 1944, the Nazi production increased for the first time. No matter how much they were being bombed, for a three-month period, the Nazis were producing more than they'd ever done before. And then when they were really taking a pounding, they actually moved to underground bases and maintained production to a certain extent. So the Americans suddenly realized the value of underground bases and took that idea back. And from 1945 onwards, they have been tunneling and digging and doing whatever they want to. Now, in the early stages, it was purely military. In later stages, it became for the cabal. So the cabal actually would have underground bases built as retreats. So not just as a command place or a storage place, but actually as a retreat to go to. So you have a group of the Illuminati, the very top group, who still hold dear to wiping out 3/4 of the population, and then sneaking off underground and living a life of Riley underground, if that's possible. I really don't know. The seed bank is very much part of an Illuminati plan, so that if the world was subject to some terrible disaster, they can come out and create another Garden of Eden. It's not to be seen separately, but to be seen running consecutively with the plan to take all vitamins out of the foods that we would buy from a supermarket. The Illuminati cabal, the satanic group, have been setting up a number of factories all over the world that are providing vitamins, and if you're part of the elite family, you can buy vitamins so that when and if that time comes, they can supplement the food that they eat with a vitamin supplement that will keep them going, because the EU has had considerable debates whether they want to ban vitamins, that you would actually go into a high street health food shop and buy vitamins. That's possibly on the cards for being got rid of, because one of the ways to weaken the human race is to hit it where it hurts. That's take away its nutritional value of food. So, you know, it's all part of this same absolutely crazy mindset, which is we want the earth, but just for the us, just for the few us, the elite people, the very wealthy, the totally deranged, frankly. But for that small group of people who love the earth, they love the sea, they love the rivers, they love the trees, they just don't want to share it with anybody else except people like them. So that's why you've got your Norway seed bank. That's why they have these plans to take all vitamins out of food. That's why there's inoculations of children and the flu vaccines and goodness knows what else. It's all part of an overall picture to weaken humanity to a certain extent so that it's susceptible to whatever they want to do. I'm aware of the big underground bases. The ones that's been built at the moment, or a number of them being built at the moment, are not for alien stroke human research or stuff. It's purely and simply as a refuge if the crazies get their way and bring Armageddon down. So it's really for the, not the top elite, but just under the top elite, somewhere for them to go.
Right, so if the button is pressed on the nukes, that would be a good excuse to kind of for them to go to their underground shelters.
Yeah, it's going to be a dirty bomb. It won't be a nuke. The plan, one of the false plans they've got at the moment is using a drone. Well, there are two plans they've got. In America, there are probably, I can't remember exactly now, but there's probably, America's a huge country, and when you're trying to get electricity from one part of the state to the other part, you're talking, you know, thousands of miles that you have to push this electricity. So you need these substations. Now, in Ireland and in England, when we think of a substation, we think of something quite small with a fence around it. But in America, we're talking massive to actually boost that amount of electricity. So much so that if you successfully sabotaged one of these power stations or substations in America, it would take 2 years to rebuild it. That's the complexity. So one of the plans that the crazies have is to have a drone, and mounted on the drone an electromagnetic weapon, which would send down an EMP pulse, electromagnetic pulse,
yeah,
which would then knock out one of those substations. And it's been calculated you only have to knock out 2 to 3 of the major substations, and you would place America into, not an ice age, but you would have many, many cities without electricity for up to 2 years. So that's one plan they have. What that would do is destroy the economic base of America. The stock exchange would just collapse. That's one way. The second way is a nuclear device, a small suitcase type bomb, but a dirty bomb. So you're talking about something absolutely packed with. The problem they had was if you put bacteria or viruses around a bomb, often they're absolutely destroyed with the heat of the explosion. So they were looking at ways in which they could survive, the things can go into spores and somehow survive. So that's another plan they've got. So they actually sit and dream up these plans, which are not just dreams. They actually sit around tables and they have experts in, and I mean real experts, to brief them on the possibility, how it could be delivered, how it could be done. So yeah, that they have these plans, but they haven't yet gone ahead and done it for two reasons. The first reason is that if you do it and you fail, the game's over, because everybody knows what you're up to and there'll be a witch hunt. Right. The second point is that benevolent forces from off the planet are also now heavily involved in trying to prevent this. And as a part of that, and part of the human consciousness which has developed since the 21st of December 2012, a number of people in high-ranking positions are saying, you know what, I can't play this game anymore. My conscience has got the better of me. I want out. And so there is now a very big split in most of these organizations, where you have people who care about humanity, care about their children, care about the world, and they want no part of it. And just before I finish, when the September the 11th attacks took place, you'll remember that part of the Pentagon was hit.
Yeah.
A bomb went off. It wasn't hit by an airplane. A bomb was planted in there. And just a missile was fired. But nevertheless, it was the section of the Pentagon that was hit was the United States Navy. And the Navy actually has always had a very different standpoint to either the Air Force, American Air Force, or the Army. And the Navy has been separate ever since the 50s and has a much more positive humanity bent or leaning. And so the explosion in the Pentagon, which took out some of the Navy's facilities in their offices, was a warning to them. So they've been in fighting for a number of years, and there's evidence of that, but it's become incredibly so. And if you think over a year ago now, Obama sacked something like 7, 8, 9, 10 generals.
That's right, yeah.
Because they refused to carry out the orders. Over the last 7 years, there have been 3 attempts to illegally detonate a nuclear bomb in America. One of them was in the suitcase. The other two were in airplanes, and they were all thwarted. And that is why these generals are being sacked left, right, and centre, because they refused to do it. And 2 years ago, is it possibly 2, 3 years ago, the president of Israel, the prime minister of Israel, ordered his senior chief of staff to launch an attack against Iran. And for the first time in history, a serving officer refused point blank an order from what is an elected democratic government. And the president of Israel, or the prime minister of Israel, was told no, because that will start World War III. So there are people in very high places who are now refusing to carry out these orders, and as a result of that are being retired or sacked. So you said earlier you're positive about the future. So am I. I actually think that the strength of the human will is much stronger than people give credit for. And I'm really proud of these men and women who refuse to undertake any of these instructions that will, in effect, kill people.
But is it a case that it's just putting off the inevitable? Because if he's sacking these people, he'll probably go, will you do it now? Will you do it now? Will you do it? Yeah, okay, we'll promote you because you're going to do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's when other people have to step in and prevent these things from happening. There was one instance where allegedly a nuclear bomb fell out of an airplane. I mean, literally, apparently, fell out of an airplane. And it struck somewhere in America. And when they recovered it, they found that nearly all its safety devices, bar one, had all been turned off. And just one last safety device, the very last safety device, had prevented the bomb from going off. And you know, you have to say to yourself, well, who turned all those other safety devices off? And why did that one safety device remain on? So when there isn't a person left because they've all been removed from that chain of command, something else steps in to prevent the terrible cataclysm that some of these crazies want.
Okay, and the benevolent off-world races, can you tell us who they are and how much they can get involved?
Well, for a very long time, they wouldn't get involved in a physical sense because they believe in free will.
Prime directive, I suppose.
Yes, yeah. We talk about Star Trek. I mean, that's a really a good point to make. It's about free will, and it's literally saying that we don't have the right to interfere. However, it got to the point where how can a race of people, in this case humanity, how can humanity make a choice if it doesn't have the full facts, if it's been lied to? And so this argument over a very long time won through that you need to level the playing field, you need to make it equal so that humans have the chance to see the truth and make a decision on that. And so what's been going on for the last 5 years in quite strong terms, but probably 4 years really accelerated, where negative forces have been taking, as we would say, quite a kicking. So a number of benevolent organizations and benevolent forces joined together as one, pooled their resources, because individually they couldn't overturn the system, but jointly or as a group, they had a real chance to make things happen. So a lot of, you mentioned the DUMs, the deep underground military bases, a number of them have been destroyed. Not all of them, but a number of them. And some of them under the water have been destroyed as well. And these are predominantly bases where the grey aliens were based. Some of them where the reptilians were based. You asked about the benevolent aliens. Well, there are a heck of a lot of them, but most of them don't wish to be involved. The ones that do get involved are those that have a long association with humankind on the planet Earth, and they share genetics with us. So, you know, there are 12... 13 races that could actually call us family, and so they cannot walk away. So we've got the names back in the frame, like the Palladians, the Andromedians. Those are the main players. There's the Setians as well. They're the ones who are actually at the cutting edge of delivering physical assistance. However, there are a number of intelligences well beyond the fifth dimension. You're talking very high, that don't have a physical body, who are also using their specialist knowledge, which is beyond anything the reptiles or the Palladians would have. Because if you're from the seventh and eighth dimension, you're only there because you've evolved enough to reach those levels. Therefore, your thinking intellect and your technology should be such that it would be like magic to most people. So they've been involved as well. The problem is that where do humans choose to be enslaved, and when are they being hoodwinked? In other words, if humanity chooses to be lied to, chooses to accept the status quo and not question, not push back against the system, then you could argue that they need to be left alone. And that was the argument that was always held. And then recently, and it is recent in terms of the way humans look at time, the argument was no, that's not the case, because the humans are a very young race, very, very immature, and don't really have all the facts at their fingertips. And what we need to do is to be able to balance the game. So that's what's been going on, right from battles in space, battles under the earth, battles in government, battles in big corporations, the downfall of some of the banks, the truth coming out to a certain extent about Jimmy Savile and paedophilia. Basically, the curtain is being lifted, and ordinary men and women throughout the globe, but mainly in the Western world, because that's really where the power is, are seeing that the people they've elected to run and govern them are actually corrupt. And this split between the people and the government is actually important, because it will allow the people to begin to seek the truth. So I'm waffling on a bit here, but basically people are seeking the truth, and they're no longer believing what the elite are telling them. And this is an absolute fundamental cornerstone for the freedom of humanity, because if people start to search themselves, ask themselves what they think is the truth, and do independent research, then that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, well, I've said this before on the show, that it's not a case that, you know, we want to have... We're kind of using bow and arrows against machine guns regarding the cabal. And it's not a case that we want to get, a cannon. It's just we want to have a machine gun as well, so the fight is fair, you know? And I've said this before, so from a benevolent point of view, or whatever way you see it, if at least if we're given the technology or given the ability to have the same kind of equipment, then the fight is fair. But if you're getting beaten up by six people and there's only one of you, well then, you know, it's wrong and the odds are wrong. And again, the whole thing that the ETs believe in, oh well, it's all about free will. Well, you know, if you really think about it, we don't actually have free will. Because there's certain things that we cannot do, and if we do try and do it, you get arrested, or you get beaten up, or you get locked in jail.
Yes, I mean, that's why they became involved, because it's very easy to hide behind the argument of, oh, well, they've got free will.
We don't.
Yeah, I agree with you, and the reality was that they didn't want to get involved in it.
Yeah.
This planet is not on a superhighway. This planet is right tucked down the very edge of a very godforsaken, boring part of space that no one's really interested in.
Yeah.
However, that has changed. Listen, did you say you had some questions from some of your listeners?
Well, yeah, that's we're going off to the questions now, because we have another 30 minutes. So what we're going to do is going to quick fire the questions over to you, and there's probably a handful more coming in from the chat room as well. So we'll try and get through them. I know it's going to be very difficult to get kind of a one line answer, but
I'll do my best.
If you can do your best, because we try and kind of please everybody as much as we can in the time that we have, and everybody has questions because they know you're a great guest, great information. So Steve, over to you.
Okay, yeah, we do have a lot of questions. We've questions here already, Simon, as you know, and we have a plethora of questions that have come in, so I'm just going to get stuck into them.
Well, they're the ones that he got today, so you can...
Yeah, okay, we'll run with these for us. Yeah, the first one says, I do respect and admire Mr. Parks. My questions for him are: Question 1. Who really is behind President Putin? What is his most hidden agenda? What trump cards he is having to play? And why is he continuing to push into Ukraine?
Right, see if we can do this quickly. The Nordic race is behind President Putin. His trump card is literally the fact that the technologies that he's been given, whilst not equaling that of America, is so close that America doesn't have an edge over Russia anymore. Why is it pushing into Ukraine? Because the Americans used the European Union to attempt to steal part of Russia away, because the huge mineral reserves in the Ukraine, with the European Union facing a total meltdown and the economic collapse, the CIA basically orchestrated demonstrations to get people to rebel against Putin, so that Ukraine would join the European Union, so they could just rob it of its wealth. And of course, where it backfired was the Black Sea port of Sevastopol. That's where the Russians have their Black Fleet. Actually, interestingly enough, it's also where dolphins are psychically trained. But that's another story. So basically, Putin is actually a good guy. So if the newspapers in Britain tell you Putin's a bad guy, just take the opposite. So whatever the newspapers tell you, just look at the opposite.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people generally do anyway. They kind of dismiss what's in the newspaper, or they read it kind of in reverse. But no, I don't know too much about Putin. Only what you kind of hear being floated around. But I don't know what way to take the chap personally speaking, because he was kind of the one, wasn't he, who had the... Did he introduce something there last year, possibly the year before, about the same people, homosexual people, were like the work of the devil, and there was loads of riots and violence against people of that persuasion?
Yeah, I mean, I separate a person's bigotry, which obviously I don't share that at all. But I can separate a person's personal bigotry with the ruling of the country. And the question that I was asked, you just asked through that very good questioner, was what was going on with Ukraine. So whatever the individual Putin may be, he is running a campaign against the Americans. That's what I'm judging him on, the very fact that he's chucked out Rothschild, so Russia now does not have a Rothschild bank. Putin has decoupled the dollar from oil. So in other words, now Russia only buys oil in rubles. Russia has joined a pact with India and China. And that's a big player. China's a big, big player. So those three now are buying oil and gas and doing deals and cutting America out. So from that perspective, I think Putin's a good guy. I don't judge him from his personal things. Certainly if he came and visited me and started talking like that, I would just throw him out. But I'm judging him from his actions with America.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly fine. That was just obviously a question I had myself in relation to that chap. We'll continue on. What is the origin of genuine Earth humans' souls? Who are they? Some say it is some ninth dimensional souls collective.
That's new to me. No, you can't get a soul from a ninth frequency that's created there. All souls are created at source. Now, you know, you can use the word God if you like. I prefer the word source. So when a soul came to this planet and entered a human creature and wanted to reincarnate in human creature after human creature after human creature, that can be called an Earth human soul. So all souls are created at source.
Okay. Yep, no, I will actually say I didn't really understand the question when it was talking about, you know, kind of a ninth dimensional. I mean, I'm only up to the fifth dimension at the moment. I mean, we've discussed this, and that's as far as I've got as the fifth, and now we're talking about the ninth. I've a long way to go.
Mine doesn't have a number. I'm just dimensional, that's all.
Yeah. Okay, we'll continue on. Where are we now? Yeah, where humanity is heading, Simon, to fourth or fifth dimension?
Well, it'll have to go. The new age would like you all to believe that you're going straight to the fifth dimension.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. We will, if we're successful, go to the fourth dimension, and then if we pass the tests there, to the fifth, and so on. There is no get out of jail card free. It's like a ladder. You have to get your foot on the first rung, successfully get on that, and move on upwards. So fourth, fifth, and upwards.
And when we get to the fourth dimension, Simon, how will we know? I mean, we've kind of kicked this one around before, and we don't know. Like, will it be just kind of an instantaneous thing where you're in the fourth dimension, or will there be a process? Is it when we die? How will we know?
We'll know because there'll be an awful lot of reptilians about. This is where the reptilians reside, in the fourth frequency, the fourth dimension. And when you start seeing them on the streets, then you know that you've made it.
Okay, so it's kind of something similar, just to kind of picture it in my mind, like the scene in the film They Live, the chap with the sunglasses. So when we kind of start seeing the likes of that,
yes,
then we know we're...
Absolutely.
But are you saying reptilians has a negative or a positive?
Negative.
Right, okay, so that's a bad thing then.
No, it's a good thing because there's not very many of them, and if we get a couple of billion humans into the fourth dimension, then they'll be kicked out.
Oh, okay. Right, go ahead, Steve.
So they live there already, and when we go over there, we're going to kick them out. That's just kind of like us being the gung-ho Americans again, isn't it?
Oh, it's what's called payback.
Karma.
Oh, okay.
It's karma.
Okie dokie. Right, the question number four. Is the disruption period on years 2015 to 2016 on the schedule, and how possibly it practically will display? I'm probably reading that backwards.
No, I understand the question. 2015 to 2017, the end of 2016, the beginning of 2017. You mentioned earlier about the huge amount of money, billions, that the IMF. Some of it's real money, but the majority of it just doesn't exist. It's just bloody electronic money that means nothing. But they are already aware that, you said about June, I'm putting it towards August. Between August and October, there is scheduled to be a massive collapse. You thought the crash in 2008 was bad. It ain't nothing compared to what is potentially going to happen. And so what's happening is all this fake money is absolutely being pumped and will be pumped into the system in an attempt to prevent this total collapse. So it is on schedule in the sense that a number of elements want this huge collapse to occur, and other elements don't. So that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the super elite pulling their money out, left, right, and centre. People losing their jobs, the banks actually going down. But then the people who their jobs depend on money and their jobs depend on banks desperately pumping money in. So you've got two arms of the same organisation, basically, one totally opposed to the other. So is it on track? Some of the plans are on track for the bad guys, but most of their plans have slipped. So in actual fact, it's looking much better for decency.
Is this the idea of the global reset we hear about in the Sahara and all this?
Yes, correct.
That's really what they kind of, let's call them the white hats for want of another word. The white hats want this collapse to happen because then they'd bring in the global reset.
No, because the collapse that is looking possibly likely will cause so much hardship that you cannot, I couldn't justify putting people through pain and suffering because of some greater good. You can't do that. That's not right. What the white hats want is a smooth transition from one system to another system so that it's managed. You manage the situation. What the bad guys want is a complete over-the-cliff precipice fall that you can't possibly manage and just destroys everything. So What the white hat guys want is a managed
reset.
Collapse, but yes,
managed reset. Like a shutdown on the Friday and come up on Monday and
absolutely.
This is what we've heard. That it's, you know, they're given a window of about 2 weeks, and they're saying just have enough cash and food and stuff in for about 2 weeks while this transition takes place.
What I've said to people is, as I don't want fear, because that's negative, but you go to the supermarket on a Monday and there'll be no bottled water. You go to the supermarket on the Tuesday, there'll be loads of bottled water, but no bread. That's the sort of situation that I'm foreseeing. It's not you go to the supermarket and there's no food, but there will be shortages in certain areas. So, I mean, you know, if you were to store up a fortnight's worth of bottled water, fortnight's worth of tins of food, stuff like that, that's probably quite wise.
Yeah. Okay, Steve.
Okay, yeah, well, we have spoken about that time and time again about stocking up, and, you know, if nothing happens, well, you've got a stockpile of food, but if it does happen, well, you're going to be you're going to be well prepared. We'll continue on. This is another question. I'm going to read it as it's written. Dr. Carla Turner, after extensive research into the abduction phenomena, came to the conclusion that the abductors are liars and not to be trusted. They give the abductee a scenario that he or she can relate to, that can fulfill a need or a void in their life. They can appear as Jesus, Buddha, family members, or even a famous person. Is it possible that Simon's experiences are being used to give him false version of reality and have him unwittingly spread misinformation?
What a fantastic question. That's a really good question. And if I wasn't genuine, I would be huffing and puffing and blustering and, you know, saying, how can somebody call me into question? I think that's a fantastic question. I'm going to do my best to answer it. First of all, if that were the case, the information I would be giving wouldn't be the information it is. It would be about, you know, do what society tells you, you know, submit to authority. You know, that would be the sort of stuff I'd be coming out with. Now, Dr. Carla Turner, God bless her, she died of cancer. She did some tremendous research. She was also an experiencer herself, and she had a number of run-ins with greys and reptilians, and she had a lot of trauma. And I think she's right. I think in many cases, genuine contactees, abductees, experiencers have some incredibly negative experiences, and what happens is, in many cases, a screen memory is given to that person. And Dr. Carla Turner actually gave an example of somebody who was abducted, and a woman, and she felt that she had all these hybrids around her, and she was reading a story to them. But every time she sort of was returned back home, she couldn't understand why she was covered in sweat. She was shaking. She couldn't sleep. She had marks on her body, scoop marks or burn marks, needle marks. And it didn't seem to work out with the experience. So the experience she had was one of loving, a really, you know, nice experience, and yet her body told a completely different story. So she went and had some regression, and lo and behold, she found that she was being sexually abused, so much so that she was a straight woman, and she became gay because what had been done to her was so horrific that she couldn't ever go down that road again. Now, I'm very fortunate. I don't have any, never had any marks on my body, no scoop marks or ejection marks or anything like that. And when I have my experiences and I come back, I'm not sweating, I'm not fearful. And so the experiences that I've had have been genuine, because I'm not a trouble at all. But it is a fantastic question, and I hope I've answered it, I've answered it as best as I can.
That's brilliant. And funny enough, you should say that about Dr. Turner, because Credo Mutwa said the same thing, that due to his experiences, he became bisexual, I believe.
Can I just come in there? It's really fascinating, because generally negative aliens don't work with black people. They generally work with a white race or mixed race. And actually, it's because black people generally are more resilient to his mind control. But the Zulu tribe, and Credo Mutwa is a member of the Zulu tribe, is a Zulu king, I think.
Yeah.
It was the reptilians, for a reason I don't fully understand, trained the Zulu people in warfare. That the Zulus were absolutely fantastic soldiers, and anybody who's seen the film Zulu with Michael Caine is reasonably accurate. But it showed just how brave the Zulus were. And I said before on your radio show 2 years ago that the reptilians are very much into ritual and ceremony.
Yeah.
And the Zulus have what's called the washing of the spears ceremony. So after they've gone and had a fight, they will wade out 3 foot into the water and wash their spears ceremoniously in the water. So the Credo Mutwa is totally genuine, because his people interacted with the reptilian species, and there was positive and negatives, but he has a tremendous insight. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that was, I just thought that was important.
No, well, I recommend our listeners go and check out, if you've never heard of Credo Mutwa, go and see the video. David Icke interviewed him, and it's 2 or 3 hours, I believe. Very, very good interview about his experiences with ETs and all that kind of stuff. So we'll crack on, Steve, because we're going to be running out of time there. So
yeah,
we have another question.
I think
there.
We have more questions than we have time, but we'll try and get through them as quick as we can. Another question, Simon. I have watched lots of Simon's interviews, and he has fascinating information. Where does he get this information from, and can it be confirmed by other sources, or is the information just Simon's opinions, which of course he is entitled to have?
I don't have opinions, because opinions are pointless. The information I give comes either from fourth dimensional entities, or if people want to care to look back and see what my family was like, from security services. So MI5, MI6, and some American services, and indeed some of the elite organizations like the Knights Templar. So, from a series of human sources and from off-world sources.
Okay.
Excellent.
I think that answers that. Definitely. Okay, moving on to the website questions now, the questions that have come in through the chat rooms. Going to go to this one from Eddie. Eddie is wondering, what is the nature of the Earth's soul, and can other planets and stars, and the Earth's connection... Sorry, I'll try that again. What is the nature of the Earth's soul?
Yes. All things have a life, live in some sense or not. The Earth has arteries. These are underground rivers. The Earth has energy frequencies that channel through. Anyone who douses with the two sticks is actually hooking into that. The ancient peoples, and my goodness me, you know, Ireland is full of some fantastic ancient structures, would build their stone hills on top of these nodes of energy. On the mainland, for instance, Stonehenge, Silbury Hill, Avebury. Now, can one planet communicate to another? Yes, it can. I remember 15 years ago when the research actually showed that some plants could communicate with each other through vibrations from their root systems, maybe up to 2 miles away with another plant. And that's actually been proven. So yes, the Earth has a consciousness. My goodness me, yes it does. It has its own bio-life system, and it does communicate with other planets in the solar system.
Yeah, part two of that question, Simon, was can the Earth connect with us?
And yes.
Alan's seen it as well, and I've seen a documentary on grounding or earthing, and I think from what we've seen in that, that once you take off your shoes and walk barefoot on the Earth, you do kind of have an experience, you are kind of connected then.
Yes, because when shamans connect, they connect with the Earth.
Okay, we move on. This one is from Lee from People's Internet Radio. This is going back a while when we were talking about that hydrogen collider. Lee's question was, will those magnetic constrictors blow again when the hydrogen collider is pumping up the volume, and should we duck?
I didn't mention the word magnetic constrictors, so how would he know that?
I don't know. It's obviously just a question he's formulated himself, obviously based on, maybe he has some inside knowledge, I wonder.
Maybe.
Okay, so no answer?
No, because I'm interested in the question.
Okay, okay. Lee, if you can maybe just pop something else in the chat room there, maybe give us some more information. That will be good. We'll move on. We'll keep going because say we are kind of tight for time. Wally is wondering again, also from People's Internet Radio, can you ask Simon about his view on pure Li-Fi? He says we need to look at the potential in this as it will control internet traffic as your Wi-Fi hub is on its way out. He also goes on to say it's something to do with light emitting diodes.
Yes. Running out of time here. Very basically, certain Kabbalist forces have been looking at how you can communicate with a mass range of population. You need a carrier wave. You need a carrier wave that every nation agrees to carry with, and then you can start sending information across it. So pure Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi itself is not a problem. The problem is people wishing to piggyback negative information or harmful information on top of that. It's a bit like subliminal messaging.
Okay. Right, that answers that. Mick is wondering, does Simon think or believe that the Paris false flag was an attempt to divert attention away from the royal family?
Two birds with one stone. It certainly was timed to take the world's press away from some of the allegations that have been made, but it's much more than that. A number of countries, including Britain, are trying to distance themselves from America now at the highest level, and a number of countries have had some terror attacks. These are directly threats to the governments of those sovereign countries to say, don't you dare jump ship. Okay.
Well, I mean, well, I think there's a lot of talk going around at the moment about certain countries leaving the euro and the eurozone. I wonder.
Well, it's looking good tonight. So far, I've seen the figures, and the left is actually in ahead.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, and that could be the catalyst for the rest of the countries to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's projected at the moment that the centre-right party has probably got between 25 and 28% of the vote, and the left party may score between 32 and 39% of the vote, which would mean for the first time in Greek history, for goodness knows how long, one government, without having to go into a coalition, could actually form. And the question is whether Greece would then come out of the Eurozone. So you're absolutely right, it's a very exciting situation.
And I think if they do, it's going to be it's going to be a catalyst for all the other countries to probably do the same thing. Because we're coming up to an election shortly, and we're pushing. And the amount of people over here in Ireland waking up is phenomenal. And there's a lot going on. We won't go into it because we've other questions. But there's a lot of people waking up, which is a good sign anyway. Steve.
Okay, this one came in from Andy. And Andy's wondering, could you ask Simon if... When he's talking about the beings from the seventh dimension, are these the Archons? If so, this would not be good. Well, I think you've kind of already answered that one, really, haven't you?
Yeah, but I didn't mention the seventh dimension. The Archons don't actually exist in the same way that we would understand. The Archons use artificial intelligence. Very, very quickly, many years ago, Marconi, the big computer defense contractor, lost something like 20-odd scientists in 2 years who all apparently committed suicide. They were actually all working on artificial intelligence. And America woke up to the fact that something off the planet was experimenting with artificial intelligence and was controlling systems with it. So the Archons don't live in the seventh dimension. They are they operate with an artificial intelligence, like a chess computer, basically, and they are incredibly negative. Okay?
Okay, that clears that one up. Another one from Nebula. Please ask Simon, do higher dimensional beings, that is, beings above the third dimension, actually live on our physical Earth, and can they see us while we can't see them, and how many dimensions are there? So kind of a multi-part question there.
Right. The negatives mainly reside in a fourth dimension, or the fourth frequency. They have the technology to come through into our reality, the third dimension. As they come through into the third dimension, they appear to be, depending on what's been used, they could be described as ghost-like, they could be like neon lights, or they could be just black shadows, black shadow outlines. As they come further into our reality, they actually are real, very physical, touch you and see you. Yes, absolutely. Can they see you without you seeing them? Yes, they can. People talk about seeing orbs in their houses or when they go out. And that is consciousness, not necessarily from the third. It can be from any of the higher dimensions. When somebody projects their mind, projects their consciousness into 3D, our reality is very heavy. So when someone projects their consciousness into the 3D, it's forced into a sphere, like an orange or a grapefruit, that sort of shape, because we're so much heavier than the environment they're in. So when you see orbs, that is consciousness. It could be good or bad. Usually it's good. These orbs, there are observing people. There are upwards of 12 dimensions that are regularly accessed. There's a 13th that's been created. There are sub-dimensions. We haven't got the time, but basically there are 13, 12 and the 13th forming main frequencies, but there are sub-frequencies within those. Okay.
So basically what you're saying, if they do come through into the third dimension, then they kind of, they're represented as orbs, so they wouldn't be represented, say, as a fully fledged human being shape, size, no?
No, that's somebody sending their consciousness. If I want to spy on you, or I want to keep an eye on you, for good or bad purposes, I can project, if I'm in the fifth or sixth frequency, I can project my mind, a bit like astral travel, I can project my mind to my target, and appear maybe 3 feet away from them, and I will, to that human, I will be an orb. I will be a ball floating in the air, but in reality, I'm seeing and hearing and watching them. If you talk about the Roswell crash in 1947, these were very real physical creatures that had totally come into the third dimension. I won't say they were flesh and blood, but they were certainly flesh and something. So you can, depending on how much into the frequency you travel, if you come in 100%, you will be totally physical.
Okay, and I know we're up to the wire now, so this is going to be, I think, this is going to be the last question. Unfortunately, we could do this all night, but this one is the last one from White Star. White Star is wondering, can you ask Simon about the U.S. destroyer, Captain Cook? If he knows, can he explain how the Captain Cook became a sitting duck?
I have no knowledge on that one.
Okay, and neither do I.
That's fine. Okay, well, I have about 500 or 600 questions that I have more to ask. Well, unfortunately, we won't be able to do it. But I think we're going to have to do it in part 3, Simon, because it's fantastic information. We've got emails coming in while you've been on saying this interview was brilliant. It's great information. So, well done, and thanks a lot for coming on. A big thank you. We'll have to do part 2 if you're up for it in a couple of months' time. We'll give you a shout, because this information is brilliant, and it's very kind of down to earth, logical stuff. Well, I feel, anyway, in my opinion, you talking about it, and it makes sense. You know, some of it, you know, I won't say most of it, it makes sense. There's certain things that I would kind of say, well, okay, I'm going to have to think about that, because sometimes we're on a path of knowledge and some people are further down the path than others. So, you know, so you have to kind of keep an open mind, hence why we call the radio show Open Your Mind Radio. But a big thank you, Simon, for coming on. I'm going to pass you over to Steve. Steve's going to get all your details off you there so we can let people know how to contact you.
Yeah, Simon, again, I want to echo Alan's sentiments. It's been absolutely fantastic. We could do this all night. I know it's kind of just limited time, but I think we did cover a lot of ground anyway. And in the question in relation to the hydrogen collider, Lee has actually got back to us. I've posted that into your Skype, so you can check that out. You can see exactly where he's coming from. But Simon, we do have your website here, which you gave us earlier on, which is simonparks.org. I will post that in the chat rooms. Can you tell us, have you any other outlets where people can find out about you, about your work and what you're up to?
I don't do too much out there, because simply it just gets taken down by the elites. They just keep on crashing it. I was without my internet for 5 days a week ago, and it's just regular hassle. But my website seems to be fairly resilient. I've got somebody who's really very, very good keeping an eye on it for me. If people go to my website, I'll be posting where my conferences are, where I'm going over the country to give talks. And people can contact me there. So if there's any burning questions that, you know, I wasn't able to answer on the radio show tonight, then people can possibly send that to me. Now, I do look at every email that I get. I personally answer every one. I get something like 250 emails a day. So it does take me a while to get round to people, but I absolutely have made an absolute determination. If somebody took the trouble to seriously write to me, then I would respond back. So for people who don't get a reply, it's simply because I've lost it, send it again.
That's brilliant. Well, thanks a lot, Simon. That's you're a gentleman for doing that, because there's a lot of guests that probably wouldn't have the time to be able to do that, you know, so that's much appreciated. Okay, stay with us there for a minute, Simon. Just going to go off to a musical break, and we'll be back after this.
This is Open Your Mind Radio on OYMradio.com, UnitedWeStrike.com, and PeoplesInternetRadio.com.
And we're back. Yes, good information there from Simon Parks. It's just unfortunate, we had a hell of a lot more questions than we did time, so we will have Simon back on for part three. And to answer the question in the OAM chat room, that was Kajagoogoo and Too Shy from, I think, 1983, one of my favourites.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I know it's one of Alan's.
Yeah, one of them. Well, we are 80s guys, aren't we?
One of Finbar's as well, I believe.
Finbar as well. Good evening, Finbar. How are you?
Kajagoogoo, and I think there was a bit of Wham in there. My goodness.
Yeah, one week.
Showing your age, lads.
Well, yeah. Steve is showing something anyway with the Wham. Yes, I don't know what's next. Good evening, Finbar. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. Listen, a lot going on at the moment. A lot has happened. A lot is going on. Fill us in. Tell us what's going on.
Okay. Well, I suppose the big story is K-Tech and the development over the last week. Before we get stuck into that, just to say that we've launched our official website, thenationallandleague.org. So that's nationallandleague.org. Lots of great articles, updates all the time on what's going on with our boycott campaigns, with our clinics developing around the country, etc. We also had a very good training evening. I think you were at it, Alan.
I was, yeah.
On Thursday evening in Kells. We were training up people to work in our clinics, or our day centres, as we're starting to call them now. We were expecting 5 or 6 people there, and there was, what, 30?
About that, 25, 30 people there. Yeah, it's a good turnout.
It was a good turnout, so it gave me a bit of a surprise, but it does show the interest in local areas for actually getting involved. And I actually, if I'm figuring about a quarter of those people there are not in arrears themselves, but they do understand that if we all get on board, the only solution to the problems in this country is a mass across-the-board mortgage write-down. And so more people who are not in arrears are getting involved. Just to pull back then to the K-Tech boycott assembly that's happening at the City West Hotel from 5 p.m. tomorrow. There was a more elongated court case held this week, I believe. I have to be very careful in what I'm saying here. I believe from reports that there were injunctions made against members of the National Land League of Ireland. We don't have any further details, and we don't want any further details than that. The protest, or the assembly, is going ahead tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. There's so many groups involved. The Saisonal groups from right across Dublin and even outside of Dublin are involved in promoting and organising this. The Hub are supporting the event, and they have organised a silent candlelit vigil for people who have, let's say, fallen at the hands of the banks, people who have taken their own lives. So there's just going to be lots happening. So that is going ahead, despite rumours that are emerging from the courts of different content. So it is going ahead tomorrow evening. It's going to be extremely peaceful. We don't want a situation where country music stars and attendees at the Irish Country Music Awards tomorrow evening run into the hotel saying, "Oh, there's protesters throwing stones at us." We want them to go in and say, "Who is this K-Tech, this company? And why are they evicting people? And my great-grandfather was Irish and he got evicted, and I'm going to do something about this. And K-Tech, it's not right that they're using thuggery to evict small businesses and farmers and things like that." So that's what we want the outcome to be. And so we want it to be as respectful as possible, because we're not having a go at people going into the Irish Country Music Awards. They're only our medium. Our issue is with K-Tech security and their behaviours and how they make their money. So if you're attending tomorrow evening, we're hoping that this will define the boycott movement in terms of our large assemblies over 2015. So we want this to be very peaceful, but we want it also to be impressive because it is peaceful.
One of the our listeners, Joan, who's a regular listener on OAM, has just posted up there that 30,000 people got letters from banks regarding repossessions. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, there's different figures coming out. We know that there are 50,000 cases that have been put through the doors of the Circuit Courts of Ireland in one way or another. So it may be the initial filing and paperwork within the courts, or the cases or summonses may have been served, but 50,000 altogether. And as I say, as I'm continually saying, and everybody I meet, I talk about this, because it is a crisis equivalent to the crisis that was facing the people of Ireland in the 1850s, 60s and 70s. We are, in essence, over the next year and a half, facing up to 500,000 people being made homeless. And so with the government and you know, the banks like to talk about housing crisis, and they want to create a different definition of it through the media. So they, when they talk about a housing crisis, and this is a part of their plan to confuse people, when they talk about a housing crisis, they're talking about a lack of brick and mortar, which there isn't. And really, they're talking about stimulating the industry again. When we in the National Land League of Ireland talk about a housing crisis, we're talking about the fact that 500,000 men, women and children are facing the streets in this country, because there's 50,000 cases, as I've just referred to, in the courts now. But there's another over 50,000 planned. There's over another 50,000 that are in irretrievable arrears.
And of course, if what Simon says, which is a guest we had on before you, Finbar, and he reckons that the financial crash, which is what they want to purposely bring in, is going to be, he reckons around the August, October mark, if that happens again, like 2008, actually worse than 2008, then people are going to be, I mean, 50,000 jobs.
We fell from a height in 2008.
Well, it's going to be a bigger one.
You know, but now when we fall, we've got a lot less to lose, but we'll go lower still, if you know what I mean. Here's a problematic, as an example. This is why, when you hear discussions in these matters, they never get into the detail. If those 100,000 houses are put on the market, and we're not talking about business properties that are in receivership, we're not talking about anything like that, just family homes. If those 50,000 and then the next 50,000, so 100,000, are put on the markets in the next year and a half, the current property values will go through the floor. There'll be so much supply out there and no demand other than demand through rental. And it'll really drive property prices down further. And on top of that as well, when you consider that no matter how many jobs are created in this country over the next few years, and I don't believe government figures about job creation, but no matter how many jobs are created, it doesn't matter. Because all that money that should be disposable income will be used to catch up on irretrievable arrears. So it won't in any way benefit the domestic economy. So, but these things are never discussed out there. So they're the practical economic implications of the National Land League of Ireland not succeeding in achieving a national write down across the board for people in mortgage debt. But then, of course, we have the other things that are, that as I spoke to an RTE journalist that we get on quite well with, RTE Radio, I won't say her name, it was a private conversation, and she said to me a couple of weeks ago that, you know, all they're looking for is emotive stuff. All they're looking for, that's all that the stations want, is the pictures of evictions, pictures of Gardaí and things like that. But they don't want any discussion. They don't want to point out the practical economic implications of what will happen if the government and the banks achieve what they appear to be aiming at the moment.
Well, I can tell you now where I am. I know seven houses straight away that are empty and not being lived in. And they, you know, so people could move into them if they were available, or they, if the government bought them out. But I would say to everybody out there who, you know, there is a lack of jobs out there. There's a lot of people who aren't working, who might have part-time work. And I would say to them, try and get involved with your local land league, or set a land league up, because, you know, we all need to help each other. This is going to be people power. It's not going to be the government. They're not going to help you. But I've seen, it's very kind of, you know, I was down at the meeting with you when you did the meeting the other night. And there was, as I say, about 25, 30 people there. And it was not only very, and Ben was there, Ben Gilroy was there. And the information was brilliant, right? Fantastic information. And you realise how corrupt the banks are and how corrupt the government is. Because Ben has been in courts and he's been taking on cases and explaining what has been going on. And it really is an eye-opener. And obviously, you know, what you're teaching about the Land League and what to do and how to do it. I would say to everybody, get involved, because there is positive energy in groups. And you're all coming together for one common purpose, and it's to help each other. And there is a buzz about it. Because
there's a spirit. Once you get onto the road, a lot of people are hiding in the verges, they're hiding in the ditches at the moment, hoping that the banks and that their neighbours and everybody else won't see them, and in some way they'll get away. But when the rain starts to fall heavy, it's going to flow into those ditches, and they're going to have to get out, they're going to have to get on the road with us on the National Land League, and that's just it. But the thing is, this is a no-brainer, really. 100,000 families, get involved. It's a no-brainer. This really can be one in a year. Now, the exciting things that they couldn't do in the 1880s, but what we're doing now, myself and Alan and Steve and a few have been working on the idea of, instead of us travelling around the country teaching, to actually make learning how to defend yourself, but also learning how to set up clinics in your local area, to make that much more accessible for people. We're looking at running webinar conferences of sorts, in which we can actually have classes of up to 20, 25 people at a time online, that we can convey our information and spread the word as well.
And that's going to be good to do that. Because I know there's people who are not working, who don't have a job because there's very little jobs around. And they're feeling down and they feel, you know, I've got nothing to do. One day goes into another day and they're bored and nothing to do. And I would say and ask them and say to these people and ask them, please get involved, because you will get a buzz out of it. You'll get positive energy. It'd be great spirit. And your own self-esteem will be boosted.
And not only that, you'll contribute to change. And like, as an example, my own personal circumstances, because of what I do as an activist, I've got three degrees, a master's degree and a doctorate. And I can't get work, mainly because I'm an activist. There isn't any real work out there apart from job bridge schemes. But mainly because I'm an activist, once you stick my name into anything, you go, okay, well, we get funding from private corporations, we're not going to take him on. So I don't make it. But at the same time, I'm busy from 8 o'clock every morning to midnight, Monday to Monday.
No, you are very busy.
What I'm saying is other people are doing the same. Yeah. The point I'm making is I'm full of spirit. I don't give a damn that I don't have very much money, because I've got something that's, I'm full of something that's far more valuable than money. And that's the spirit to create change. And I know you guys have it as well. And it is a great, it warms you. It gives you a sense of belonging that you don't have when you're running around killing yourself working to pay a mortgage that is unachievable.
Yeah, and of course the great thing as well is you're meeting like-minded people who have all different levels of knowledge, and if something happens, you can actually call on them and say, look, this has come in, I don't know what to do, can you help me? And there's obviously going to be somebody there in the group that knows something about it. And this is the camaraderie that's involved with the Land League in the groups. And this is why I say to people, you know, they get involved, try it, put your toe in the water and give it a go and see how you get on and set up a group. And just get
even if you have no arrears.
Yeah,
because again,
yeah.
This is about saving Ireland. It's not just if you have your own business, if you're working in a business, even though you're paying your mortgage fully, and remember, this is mortgage payments from a different time and place. This is a time when we were mad and we were willing to pay Dallas money for standard houses. So it's not justifiable to expect, and it's not practical to expect individuals or an entire nation to continue paying that, whether you're working or not. Whether you can afford it or not, we need a write down right across the board for everybody.
Definitely. And I would say to people as well, on the actual website, the nationallandleague.org, if you want to be notified of any information or when the webinars are going to happen, pop over and just subscribe to the newsletter. And once you're on the newsletter, then when there's information coming out or things happening, you'll be on the list.
And
you'll be notified of that. So that's very important.
There's a membership button there as well, I just wanted to mention, because we're not looking for money for membership. We would encourage people to donate €5 a month or something like that, or even smaller if you don't have €5, just to allow us to spread out around the country and get the infrastructure out there. But we would encourage people to become members, because through a list of members, we can claim to have the mandate to advocate and to agitate for an across-the-board mortgage write-down, because we're going to make this happen. But if people point fingers at us and say, well, who do you represent? At the moment, we know there's lots of people around the country support us, but we need to have a membership database that we can, A, access people's talents and skills, and also be able to keep an eye where people are having bother or problems, etc. But as well as that, to be able to say, yes, these are the people that give us our mandate. And they don't just give us a mandate. They are us, because we're all proactive. You know, so get that membership going. And on a final note, because I know we're pushed for time, we did a collection or a donation a campaign for a family over in Kells, who recently we prevented from being evicted. We were aiming for €1,200. We needed that in their bank account for 1 month so that Permanent TSB would do a deal with them. We've collected 720 so far. That's been transferred over. The majority of that, the PayPal money of that, has been transferred over. The physical money will be delivered tomorrow. We need to gather up that extra £500, folks. I know it's a big ask, and I would never have £500 in my own pocket, but those fivers, those tanners to come in, the money will come back to us after a month. When it does come back, we can't give all the small donations back, so what we'll do is we'll put it into the development and the growth of the National Land League around the country. We do accounts, everything is balanced, everything is transparent, but that family right now still need an extra €500, which will come back in to the National Land League coffers. So if you're out there, I know people gave last week. I don't know, depending on what your own economic status is, give if you can. You can hit the donate button on our website, which again is nationallandleague.org. Or if you want, you can just send it via the main face of the PayPal account by sending it to the email address nationallandleague@gmail.com. That's me done.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Well, the lady who was involved with the eviction in Kells was there on the Thursday night.
Lovely
which
woman.
Is great to see.
And a very strong woman.
Yeah, very, very, very. And I actually had a quick chat with her when I was down, when I went down to the house there a couple of weeks ago when we were doing the vigil and watching out for the sheriff turning up, or the acting sheriff. And a very strong woman. And it's just heartbreaking, you know, that she had to send her son away, you know, for 2 or 3 days. She hadn't seen him, because she was concerned what was going to go on. And until you have that happening to you, I don't think you fully understand, anybody could fully understand, you know. And it's brilliant that we started a campaign last week when you were on, and in the week you have that amount of money, and now the website's up and running, the donate button is there, and you can just click on the donate button at the bottom of the page and type in the amount, and then it'll go straight to the Land League. And
we have a new National Land League number. I know a few people have been trying to call through. I'll just give that number out now if everybody has a pen there. The new national, this is a dedicated national number, is 085-234-7375. So if you want to make a donation and maybe you want to give a call and organise some other way of getting a postal order over or something like that, you can call 085-234-7375. And on a final note, we've changed our location for our Dundalk Day Centre. So that's actually on Monday mornings now from 11 until 1 in the Redeemer Family Resource Centre. That's the Redeemer Family Resource Centre in Dundalk from 11 to 1, and our Drogheda Day Centre is continue as usual.
Brilliant. All right, Finbar, that's great. Thanks for coming on. Good luck
Thanks
tomorrow.
For coming,
and as I say, I'm heading out to Trim Court in the morning with a few people from the Land League to do a little bit. So that should be fun. But stay with us there for a minute, Finbar. We just go to a musical break. We'll be back after this.
This is Open Your Mind Radio on OYMRadio.com, UnitedWeStrike.com, and PeoplesInternetRadio.com.
Yeah, the short version of Toto, Africa.
Toe. Right, okay, let's say we've got a few minutes, so we're going to quickly finish up. Right, for all you engineers and techies and free energy people, and if you're all into that, We've had a request for a while now to get Patrick Kelly back on the show, who was big into doing inventions. And so this is the list he sent over to me. He said, "Hey, Alan, we can talk about all this stuff." And to be honest with you, I don't really know what it is. William Skinner leading on to hydro. Unmodified generators leading on to electrolysis. Laurie Machette. Transformers, motors, AlexCore toroids and Boyce self-powered toroids. Solar light, permanent magnet motor generators of Victor Diduc, and the QEG. Now, there's a list of technology that Patrick is going to talk about next week. So, for all you people into the new free energy stuff and building stuff, Patrick's the man. So, he's going to be on. That's going to be very interesting. Right, who's on with Mick tomorrow night, do you know?
I don't even know who's on with Ian tonight.
Okay.
Never mind who's on with Mick tomorrow night. That's, for anyone who's listens to Liffey Sound, that's Mick. He's in the chat room there. Now, I'm not sure who's on. Mick always has good guests. And speaking of guests, yeah, there's no one on planned as of yet with Vin on PIR. I actually thought he might have had Billy Maguire on. I don't know if you've seen there earlier on that when they went to the Mansion House on Wednesday, they were once again refused entry.
Yeah.
So they had to just read the proclamation from the steps, and that was it. Unfortunately,
it's getting worse. But I suppose people are beginning to wake up and realise. I don't know how many people turned up. We have to find out what the turnout was for Wednesday. It'd be good to find out. Somebody can let us know if you were there.
Yeah, okay. Unfortunately, there's only video footage. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it.
Okay, so we don't know who's on with Finn, but I'm sure it's going to be a good show anyway.
Do you want me to mention that?
Yeah, you go ahead, and that
a very generous offer came in there on People's Internet Radio, and I have passed it on to Finbar, thanks to Sean McGuire on PIR. He did post it up there that they will be happy, more than happy, to give the People's Internet Radio, the National Land League, their own spot over there on People's Internet Radio. So yeah, that's been passed on to Finbar. We'll see what he wants to do with that, if he has an interest there. I'm sure he will, but I'm probably down to time more so than that. And as he said himself, he's a very busy chap. But thanks again anyway, Sean.
Yeah, no, cheers for that. We'll pass on the word with Finbar and let you know. As I say, if you're in or around Trim Court, Trim tomorrow, we'll be down in Trim Court handing out flyers and speaking to people. There's going to be a lot of cases going on, apparently. As Finbar said, 50,000 repossessions that he knows of for this year. And there's a lot of people who are going around to all the courts, and that's the general idea of the Land League and the Hub. And a lot of the guys to go to the courts and to educate people about, you know, that they are able to fight and take on the banks. Just don't give your house back. And hopefully, by everybody doing that around the country, maybe the system will just go into a halt and they'll get the hint and they'll have some kind of write down. That's the kind of plan of attack anyway. But okay, we're going to
Just one more thing.
One more thing.
Just we've got 2 minutes. Just what are your thoughts on this one? This is an interesting one from Dermot. on People's Internet Radio on the chat there. He says a possible problem for the Land League is if they have a leader, they can be classed as a criminal gang, and laws, there are laws obviously about criminal gangs, and their assets can be seized.
Yeah, basically the Land League, the National Land League, don't have a leader. It's just that the whole idea is that we're going to have different people on from the National Land League talking and letting people know what's going on. Unfortunately, we were planning to do that, but the person who was lined up to do it wasn't available. So Finbar has come on again. It's actually a cooperative. It's not a leader. No, there's no leader. It's a collective and a cooperative of people. And everybody's in charge and everybody has a say. And there's not one person. I know it kind of looks, you know, Finbar is actively heavily involved with the Land League. But I actually know the rest of the guys in the Land League in County Louth, the National Land League. And it's all a collective and a cooperative. So it's not a gang, because everybody is on the same level. It's just that we are planning to have more people on to talk about the Land League, rather than having one person all the time, and that's something that we're going to be aiming to do. So, hopefully that solves the problem.
Very eloquently put.
Okay, we better go. Have a good week. Stay safe. Enjoy what you're doing. If there's any news, let us know. Keep us posted. This is Alan James. We'll catch you next week.
Enjoy what you're doing.
Enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, if you're not enjoying it, then don't do it.
All right. Good night.
You write your own material, yeah?
I do indeed. That's why I'm broke.
Right, okay, for myself, Stephen George, stay tuned to People's Internet Radio, and we'll catch you all again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Blue, you're mine.